So there abide faith, hope, and charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, Holy Mother Church continues to prepare us for Lent. And on Septuagesima, we heard the necessity of fasting and chastising ourselves from St. Paul. He said, if I do not chastise myself, I may fall away. St. Paul recognized his fallen nature and the need for works of penance. And last Sunday, we reflected upon prayer. St. Paul crying out to God for help. Actually, he asked that a temptation or tribulation be taken away, and God did not take it away, but he said to St. Paul in answer to his prayer, my grace is sufficient for thee. So we're reminded about taking on extra prayer during Lent. And by the way, there's no greater prayer, extra prayer to take on than to go to Holy Mass more frequently during the holy season of Lent. And today we are exhorted to the work of charity. And indeed, charity is work. It doesn't come easily. Perhaps the initial stages of it may be easier. But charity involves a number of things where we have to rise above ourselves, where we have to go outside of ourselves. We have to stop thinking about ourselves and think about God and think about others and sacrificing what we would want for the love of God, for the sake of others. Love involves rising above our feelings. Love involves forgiving of offenses. And these things are not easy for our nature to accomplish, and yet we are called to it. You know, there's a saying, love is what makes the world go around. And truly, and of course we need to emphasize supernatural charity. The more love there is in the world, the better things will be. How much better the world will be when people truly love instead of thinking about themselves, going outside of themselves. To do good unto others. There's a couple of sayings of Abraham Lincoln that come to mind, and perhaps they were uttered or perceived on a natural level, but I think we can supernaturalize them. One of the things that Abraham Lincoln, our president during the Civil War era, was accused of as being too kind to his enemies. He was asked one day, why do you do these things to these people? They've hurt you. They've offended you. You should destroy your enemies, not coddle them. And he said, do I not destroy my enemies when I make them my friends? And that's what he was trying to do. He wasn't trying to just take revenge on people. Rather, he was trying to do what was good for them. And people were very touched by his charity. And instead of hating him back, they became his friends. The enemy got destroyed, so to speak. So charity goes a very long ways. There's another saying of his, and I think it's very profound. He says, I do not like that man. I need to get to know him better. And I think that points to the fact that when we extend ourselves towards somebody that initially we do not like, we find that there's a lot to like. But we had to overcome that initial hurdle, that difficulty. So I think even though these may be perceived on a natural level, I think we can apply them supernaturally. And here's the point to really emphasize: true charity must involve the love of God. If love of God is excluded, then it's just naturalism and there's no reward in heaven at all. The reward would come in this life. And the reason for that is that essentially, love of God and love of neighbor are the same kind of thing. It's not two completely different things as though they could be at variance with each other. Love of God means that we, first of all, put him above everything and everyone else. As we well know, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with thy whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's the first commandment. Second commandment, love our neighbor as ourselves, or has also been said to love our neighbor for the love of God. Why should we love our fellow human creature? Because God created that person, and Jesus also died for that person in the most horrible torments. So if God loves his creature, and obviously he does, if we say we love God, we have to love that creature as well. But here's the hard work of love. It's difficult for us to get along at times. It's difficult to go outside of ourselves. And what's difficult is when injuries have happened and forgiveness needs to be given. All of this is charity. But when we see how much God loves us and how far he went to love us, we can't then say, oh, it's too hard to love. I mean, say that to Jesus, who's dying on the cross, shedding all of his blood. It's too hard for me to love somebody. And Jesus' blood is draining out of his body in the most horrible torments. And again, this is in addition to him creating us and sustaining us. As we know, it takes the words right out of our mouth. And this is why during Lent, it's such a fantastic time to grow in our love of God and to see those torments, to meditate on those torments that Jesus endured. You know, it can be hard to look at sometimes crosses with our Lord, I mean, really showing his sufferings. You know, so many crucifixes don't show the sufferings of Christ. It's more of a sanitized or a, you know, made easier version. But the reality of it was his flesh was hanging in shreds. There's real nails in his hands and feet. Why? Out of love. If we really understood sin, we would realize that you and I deserved those torments. And yet, Jesus took them on himself. Which is not to say that we sit back and say, Jesus did it all. No, if we love him, we will do our part to do penance and to share in his sufferings. But so much of that, Jesus took upon himself. And if we don't look at those sufferings, if we turn away, then we are choosing to disregard, really, his love for us. So that is why Lent is such a great grace for us. We need to atone for our sins. We need to realize better what sin is. And what is sin? It's always a lack of love. At a fundamental level, we don't love God enough to conquer that sin. We don't love God enough to give up that serious offense against his commandment, or even the minor offenses, the venial sins. The more we love God, the more careful we will become in overcoming even the small sins, because those hurt him too. So we see the passion of our Lord is all about love. It is about justice. It's about the Son of God, paying that penalty, taking that price upon his head, upon his body. And so that is what will always help us in the work of charity, which we need to accomplish in our daily lives. And, we live in an age where there's a lot of false charity, emphasis on what is really only the beginning of charity, and that's the good feeling. But love has to go beyond that. Love has to be tested. If it never goes beyond the feeling stage, it's shallow and it's weak. But when we have to suffer for somebody, then we are growing in love more so than when the great feelings are there. And that's why true love always involves sacrifice. But you see, people aren't willing to sacrifice, so it costs too much. It's too difficult. Love involves that because it is a great thing. So we have to be willing to do that. And also another thing that we really should address is so often even sin is painted out to be some kind of love. Young people that are attracted to one another, considering the state of matrimony, if you ever have to sin or you end up sinning with each other before you're married, know well that that is false charity. Because if you love somebody, you will not only not hurt them in body or in their feelings, but you will be sure to not hurt them in their soul. And sin is always a hurting of the soul. So how can you say, I love somebody if you're sinning with that person? This is why there has to be the guidelines of Catholic courtship so that young people are not putting themselves in occasions of sin or putting themselves in improper situations. Why? Because they have a fallen human nature and precautions have to be taken. They shouldn't be around each other constantly because the temptation will just grow. Again, if you end up sinning with somebody, you have demonstrated that there is a false charity going on because you're hurting one another in soul. So we have to look at the entire person. We have to try to see Christ in one another and keep working at that. So our love will be tested. Our love of God will be tested. Our love for one another will be tested. But with prayer, we will be able to keep on persevering in that and growing in that. And that is what we will be rewarded for in eternity, in heaven. How much love, how much charity is in our hearts, in our souls. St. Paul says that their faith, hope, and charity abide these three, but the greatest of these is charity. And as a matter of fact, faith and hope will disappear in heaven. There's no need for them. But one thing that cannot possibly disappear from heaven is love, is doing the will of God. And of course, it's perfectly done in heaven. Here on earth, it's a struggle to do the will of God, but we keep trying. So may we keep persevering in that love of God and love of neighbor and know that this holy season of Lent will certainly help us. It gives us that atmosphere and the grace and the opportunity to grow in a special way. So let us pray for one another and let us begin the Holy Lenten season with penance, with prayer, and with charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.